Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Pam. Welcome to What You Next podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm Pam Jenoff. I'm an author. I've written 11 books, if you count The Woman with the Blue Star, which will be out on May 4th. And my books are inspired. They're mostly historical fiction, and they're mostly set around World War II. And that is inspired by the fact that about 25 years ago, I was sent to Krakow, Poland as a diplomat for the U.S. State Department. And it was this very unique moment in time. Poland had just come out of those decades and decades of communism, and they were grappling with many issues from World War II. And I'm Jewish, and I became very close to the Holocaust survivors in Poland. And the government put me in charge of this portfolio of work. And so for over 2 years, I worked nonstop on issues related to the war. And so I was very moved personally and professionally by that. And that led me to write these books. So that's what brings me to my writing. When I'm not writing, I'm a faculty member. I teach law school at Rutgers, which is a wonderful place. And I live in New Jersey, but close to Philadelphia, so South Jersey, with my husband, 3 children, puppy, cat, lizard, and bird.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay. So I live in New Jersey for 12 years, but I live in Northern New Jersey. I live closer to New York City. So, yes. But I'm familiar with the Southern New Jersey. You got Mount Laurel, is that like that, the suburbs
of? Yeah, Cherry Hill, Marlton, that area. Yep. Yes.
So that's awesome. And oh my gosh. And so how are you surviving the pandemic? Like, you're teaching remotely still, or?
I am teaching remotely. We will be back hopefully in the fall. Hopefully we'll get to teach in person, but I'm remote. My kids go 4 half days a week, and we haven't put them on the bus. So I spend 2 hours a day in the car driving them for a 4-hour school day. So it's fine. But, you know, the pandemic kind of kicked off for me with like a bang. So I was supposed to go to Poland for a research trip for The Woman with the Blue Star. And I was supposed to leave on March 11th. And so as the pandemic was like getting worse and worse, and people are like, maybe you should cancel, I'm like, I'm going. I'm going to wear a mask. I'm going. And then my flight was canceled on March 11th. And then on March 12th, I had an emergency appendectomy. So thank God the flight was canceled, or I would have been somewhere over Europe when it happened. And so everything worked out. But the upshot of that is I came home from the hospital the next day and the world had shut down. Mm-hmm. Like, the kids never went back to school. We never left the house. So it was sort of a very abrupt start to all of this.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I remember the pandemic. I moved to Chicago 2 weeks before the pandemic started.
So
I had like a week and a half of being like, I did not know. I knew it was COVID, but you right. know, like.
It was right. Like, I was like, oh, to my kids, they're saying their friends are worried about this thing called COVID. I was like, oh, they're exaggerating.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, it's not a big deal. And then it shut down like that Friday. I remember that clearly that Friday. Everyone was like, you know, like in those grocery store buying all these toilet paper, like going to like, the world was going to shut down, and like St. Patrick's Day got canceled. And it was like, what after
that? Like, we'll be back by May 15th, right? And then no. But you know, it was interesting bringing it back to this particular book. I was writing a book, and I know we'll talk more about it, about Jewish people who had survived World War II by hiding in a sewer, if you can imagine, for 14 months hiding in a sewer. And so I was writing this book about isolation while we were isolated, and while our circumstances nowhere near approach what these people went through, you saw a lot of parallels. Like suddenly in 2020, we are worried about getting enough food and toilet paper. We are worried about how are we going to educate our children? And all of these questions just ripped from normal life. And so there were certainly some parallels about the struggle and the isolation and the need for human connection.
Oh my gosh. And so how was the process of writing this book while going through some of the parallels,
Well, you know, I mean, I think the pandemic was different for everybody, right? Some people said, I can't write. You know, some of the authors said, I can't write. Some of the authors kept writing. What was interesting, and this is where it gets, I'm very honest about these things. So I told you this is my 11th book. I had actually turned this book into my editor at the end of 2019, right? November, December. And after 11 books, I turned in a manuscript and my editor was like, no, this is not it. And this was sort of a devastating blow to have to scrap 90% of this book and then rewrite the book in about 5 months. And oh, by the way, all of this, you know, halfway through that, the pandemic hit. So suddenly the kids are home and everything was all topsy-turvy. So I'm a morning writer. I'm a 5 a.m. writer. So I just doubled down and made myself a 4 a.m. writer for a few months because that was all I had.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And you turn in a great book. So let's chat about the book and tell us a little other bit of pitch. You mentioned a little bit about like what happened, but like, what was the source of inspiration? What's the other bit of pitch for those who have not picked up the book, but they're interested in picking it up?
Sure. So when I'm thinking about the next book that I'm going to write, and I'm looking for an idea that I'm going to write about, I'm looking for two things. One, I'm looking for a piece of history that will educate as well as entertain. I don't write real history. I fictionalize it. My books are fiction inspired by real history, but I like that nugget of history that can teach people. And at the same time, I want the aha moment. So if I find an idea that after 25 years of working with the Holocaust makes me gasp. It makes me go, oh, I never knew that. It could be World War II. It could be, you know, female spies, which was the Lost Girls of Paris, or it could be a German circus that rescued Jews, which was the Orphan's Tale. But when I have that moment of gasp for me, then I'm hopeful that my readers will feel the same way. And so I found this incredible story about people who survived World War II by not fleeing through a sewer, but living in the sewer. And I was very struck by this story. In particular, there was one anecdote that was really breathtaking. There was a girl in the sewer, and one day she looked up through the grate and she saw a girl about her own age buying flowers. And she was so struck by the disparity between their two situations. And her mother said to her, someday there will be flowers. That was her promise. And so for me, again, it's all fiction. You know, I'm not writing about a real person, but that was the starting point for my story. Is I imagined a young woman who was one of the people in the sewers and looking up and seeing a young woman about her age on the street. So my woman in the sewer is Sadie, and she looks up and she sees Ella, and Ella is a non-Jew. She's Gentile, she's Polish, and she's living in relative comfort and ease during the war. Her life is far from perfect. She lives with a stepmother who is consorting with the Nazis, and she's very much alone. But she's not suffering through the war. And Ella looks down and she sees this pair of eyes in the sewer, and they connect. And so these two women from very different backgrounds build an unlikely friendship. But, you know, it has a lot of consequences for both of them.
For those who are looking for getting immersed in a world, I think this is like such a nugget of inspiration that, you know, can take you, and there's the parallels of like the isolation, you know. So I love this. Thanks. So in terms of writing historical fiction, what came first? Did you read historical fiction or did you write it? Like, which one came first, writing or reading?
I think they were on two parallel tracks that I never knew were going to collide, because I will tell you, and I'll tell you about both of those tracks in a minute, but when I walked into my first writer's workshop, I had one chapter of a historical project and one chapter of a non-historical project. And so the group, the historical resonated more with the group and off I went, but it wasn't by design. So I did always read historical fiction. I have a master's in history from Cambridge, so I'm very much steeped in history. But I read, you know, it's interesting, those big old historical fiction novels that were mostly by men back then. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking about James Michener. I'm talking about Leon Uris and Herman Wouk and John Jakes, right? So I read that kind of historical fiction growing up, but I wasn't trying to write historical fiction. When I was a kid, I always knew I wanted to be a writer. Little kid, you know, 7 years old, scribbling, and always wanted to write books, not poems or anything else. And through all of those years, when I had so much time to write, you know, I was living in Europe or I was in school, I had time to write. I could never get it done. And you know what I mean? Everybody's got a project that you're like, oh, I wish I could get this off the ground. So that was the novel for me. And the turning point in my life was actually 9/11. When I left the State Department, I went to law school. I came back to the States and I went to law school. I graduated from Penn Law in Philadelphia, and I started working at a firm on September 4th, 2001. Mm. 1 week later, 9/11 happened, and I was faced with a life epiphany. And I flippantly, forgive me, refer to this life epiphany as, dear God, I don't want to die at the law firm. And what I meant was being a lawyer was a fine and admirable profession. It still is. I train lawyers. But I had a deeper dream of being a novelist. And if I had been a 9/11 victim, I never would have realized that dream. I had to get started right away. And so that was really the moment for me.
And I love the fact that you found a niche that works for you and that you have some connections with that niche of writing. So does it make it any easier when you write new books, knowing the history, knowing the background, or do you find that you have to start from scratch sometimes, like when you start a new book?
Well, every book is in some sense from scratch. I mean, Krakow may be easier, which is where my book is set because I live there, but I lived there 25 years ago. But every book is about world building, you know, whether it's The Circus and the Orphan's Tale or, you know, the special operations executive in Lost Girls. For this book, it was very much about learning the sewer. So, you know, the size of the pipes, in some place it's a raging river, in some places it's a pipe you might not be able to make it through, right? The ways they would survive, how would they get food? How would they get water? Did they have a stove? Did they have light? You know, all of those things. The dangers they faced, because there was drowning, there was being detected, there, you know, all sorts of different dangers that they might face as well. And so it's really about learning that world in some way for me.
Yeah, awesome. So I've been asking this question to authors because I'm curious to hear what, you know, what sparks joy. Like, is it writing? Is it something else? Is it like gardening or hobbies or things that just give you, when you do it, you feel like you're in flow and doesn't bother you at the time, like time flies by, like when you're taking that action. So it can be self-care, it can be anything. What would be that for you?
What sparks joy? Well, so one thing, I'll start with this, that I really learned through the pandemic is how important my work was to my self-care. Mm-hmm. Because for those first few months of the pandemic, when the kids came home, we got the puppy and all this, I didn't work. I couldn't work. And it felt awful. And then when September rolled around, the kids started their virtual schooling. I put the puppy in daycare, which is a big thing with writers, by the way, puppy daycare. We have discussed this a lot. And I started working and I felt better physically. I felt better mentally, you know, everything. And too often as women, I think we apologize or make excuses for working, right? We treat it like our free time. We feel guilty about it. And I was certainly that person, but getting to the point of like owning the work and how important it is to me has been really revolutionary. Now, there are lots of other things that spark joy, whether I am, you know, running through the woods with my kids, or I am screaming my head off at an Eagles game, or I am outlet shopping with my mom. Like, there's lots of different ways to be in the moment, and I'm grateful for all of those. But the real lesson out of the pandemic was that work one.
That's a big lesson. And it's like, yeah. So it's great that you found work to be fulfilling, to give you that place of flow. Yeah. Exactly.
on. And it's routine. It's doing it every day, right? It's that I find great comfort in that routine.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think that's like makes an impact, like knowing where you're going to be the next day. It just gives you kind of like a sense of comfort and some structure to your day and allows you to be creative and to have all the other aspects that feel good.
But not to be rigid, right? Because no 2 days are alike. So you say, well, if I don't get it here, I'm going to get it there. And that's important.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love this. So what are you working next?
What am I working on? Yeah. So I am working, and it's funny, normally I'm an open book about what I'm working on next. And lately I've been really squirrely about it, but, and I don't know why, but I did see that I had answered the question somewhere. So I'm going to just say, I'm working on a book, that is inspired by, I think it's one of the I don't want to say the only, because I'll be wrong, but one of the only known sabotages of a train bound for Auschwitz. Ooh. So it's set in Belgium this time, which is a new country for me. And it has to do with a train and a sabotage attempt on the way to the concentration camp.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. This is a retrograde next. So we ask book recommendations, we ask books authors to share a book recommendation that they can stop crushing with us and thinking about books that they can recommend. It doesn't have to be friendless, it can be backlist, it can be some hidden gem, whatever it is, just a book that you recommend.
So before I answer that directly, I just finished something called 100 Days of Books. So every day for 100 days, I posted a book that I loved. And it was so fun to engage with readers. And it was all, like you say, all over, debut, backlist, whatever. And I do actually, if people ever want it, I have that whole list on Pinterest. So, you know, you can reach out to me anywhere and I'll get it for you. And right now, you know, when you go like, I go feast or famine with books, and I am feast right now. So first of all, a lot of other fellow authors have sent me books. So I'm reading. And then my whole library stash came in at once, right? So my TBR is like really high. I'd say on my nightstand, but I don't even own a nightstand. So what am I reading and what have I loved? One book I really loved in the past year, I loved Ghosts of Harvard by Francesca Saratella, which was a suspense novel. She's Lisa Scottolini's daughter. Mm-hmm. And that was a really wonderful suspense book. I liked that one a lot. One I've praised a lot the past few years is Ask Again Yes by Mary mm-hmm. Beth Haine. Really loved that. And then right now I'm splitting time between, I think, 2 or 3 books. Like I've got that thing. So, I'm reading, it's an older title, You Will Know Me by Meg Abbott. I'm reading that. I started Good Neighbors by Sarah Langan, and I'm reading that. And I'm in the middle of Pack Up the Moon, which is a book by Kristen Higgins that'll be out this summer.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
No, I'm so excited. And you know where I've been reading? I complained to you about dropping off and picking up children, but the pickup line is like the best place to read. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Did you read e-readers? Did you read physical books? Like, which is
physical books? I don't have great eyesight. I mean, I'm okay. I wear glasses and whatever, but I don't have the eyes for a Kindle. So my kids all have Kindles or whatever device they're using. And I still use a physical book, and I don't mind if it's a paperback or hardback. I don't mind if it's library or store, but I need the physical book.
Gotcha. I love this. So tell us where you can find you online.
Okay. So to find me online, the starting place is my website, which is www.pamgenoff.com. That is, and I just got a brand new website last week. So I'm very excited about that. I'm also, you can hang out. I'd love to hear from individual readers anywhere they're hanging out online. So I have a Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, email, whatever folks would like. I would be super happy to hear from them.
I love this. Thank you, Pam, for being on the show.
Thank you so very much.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. The Watch Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.